Matthew chapter 8, 7 rather, we had this morning, or this afternoon. And verse 24, we read a bit down about the wise man building his house upon the rock. I'd like to read a few verses before. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These ones here had been doers. They had done things. Have we not? The Lord doesn't have to dig to see the origin and the foundation that they were on. But we learn that they were not on the foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the will of the Father, which is in heaven? The will of the Father is that we believe on him that he sent, and that we have no other foundation than the person of the Lord Jesus. And they did not have that foundation. You know, we live in a world today where many men are known for their great activity for the Lord. And the Lord knows them that are his, and we can be thankful for every minister of the gospel, every minister of the truth of God that is used of him to edify the body of Christ in love, wherever they are. But there are those that we are warned about here who do things in his name and yet are not on the foundation. That should be a help to us, dear ones, that there's so much confusion that can affect the weaker ones, that we would not go by a man's reputation. We would go by what a man says about the Lord Jesus, how he speaks of him, not of what he does for him, but how he speaks of the Lord Jesus. It says, as our brother was bringing before us, the foundation of God. Now, I'd like to turn to some verses in Galatians chapter 5 for a few moments. Verse 22. Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit of God manifest in the lives of those that are his. God glorified in mortal bodies like you and I have by the manifestation of this character of the Lord Jesus in our lives. If you allow me, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What kind of love? The love of God. The love of God enjoyed by yourself and myself. Because that foundation is not a piece of rock. That foundation is a person who loves and who loved you and loved me. A God who sheds his love in your heart by his Spirit. And that's the quality of the love. It's the love of God. We love because he first loved us. Joy. What joy? It's the joy of God. God makes you happy. God has you share in his joy. It's what we have in the book of joy in Philippians. And then the peace. What kind of peace? Peace with God, of course, starts with peace with God, a from Romans chapter 5. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, which those men in Matthew 7 did not have. But it's also the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, and all the other manifestations of the Lord Jesus, all the character of God, the long-suffering of God, gentleness of God, goodness of God, faithfulness. It's faith in English, but really I believe the thought is faithfulness. The faithfulness of God, and so on. But I'd like to spend just a few moments on the theme of the joy of God and thinking of the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says in the third epistle of John, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear but that my children walk in the truth. But John could hear of the children walking in the truth, but the Lord can see his own walking in the truth. And we can give him joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What a privilege, dear ones, that we, these small creatures before such a great God, can bring joy to his heart. And I'd just like to spend a few moments to consider quickly some aspects of the Lord's joy. Psalm 16, verse 11. You know, this psalm of the perfect servant, this is the Lord Jesus, in obedience on the earth to please his Father and to bring about his purposes. And verse 11, speaking of him in resurrection, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Think of the Lord's joy as he entered the glory, having finished his course, after accomplishing the work of the cross, being in before the Father. The joy that was set before him, many aspects to that. The joy of the Lord in entering into the Father's presence. Having given the Father all that he requires to bring the vilest of sinners and all the vile sinners of this world into the presence of a thrice holy God on the basis of his work and faith in him. What a joy for him. We can rejoice in the Lord always. We can rejoice with the Lord also. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness or joy of his heart. Think of the joy we're going to have when we see the Lord Jesus face to face. Think of the joy he's going to have when he sees all his own and the perfection he has brought them into, in the full enjoyment of who he is and what he's done. Surely we can grieve at how little his people know him and know about him and know what they have in him. But in every measure that God has revealed to us, those treasures that we were speaking about, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, all those things that he's given us to know about the Lord Jesus, the value of his person and his work, and all that we have in him. What a subject for our joy. And to think that there's a time coming when he will see the fullness of the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So when he comes with clouds and presents the church to himself, what a joy for him. But you know, we lose sight sometimes too of our Lord's special heart in connection with the people of Israel. And they've been set aside for a time. There's a time coming when he was going to rejoice over them with singing. Not in a greater joy that he rejoices over you and me or will rejoice, but there's that would belong to him that we can enter into and enjoy together. And I see this in this verse 11. of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. To think of that love of the Lord Jesus for his people. No, you and I are different. We're indifferent to his name. I blasphemed his name before I knew him. But he didn't walk in the streets of my corner where I lived. I never heard his discourses. I never saw any of his miracles. I never saw him, period. But the Lord Jesus was manifest to these people. He was in their streets. He fed them. He healed them. He preached to them. And he heard them say, "Away with him, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us." I know we've grieved the heart of the Lord many times, but perhaps we can enter a little bit into what a grievance to his heart to receive such from his people he was so close to, and manifesting grace and patience and long-suffering to them to be thus treated. And to think of a time coming when this very people is going to weep. Every family apart is going to be weeping because of him. When he's going to be revealed to their hearts. And in this verse of Song of Solomon, "Go forth, ye daughters of Zion," it speaks, I believe, of the other cities around Jerusalem, "and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him." I believe the mother, several scriptures speaks of Israel. Isaac was comforted because of his mother's death when he had Rebekah as his wife. So the mother, you might say, when he came, they crowned him all right. They crowned him with a crown of thorns and they spit in his face. When they rejected him, I can't enter into what this must have meant to his heart of love. There's a day coming when this very nation, this very people, is going to own him as the true Messiah and King. And they're going to crown him. And he's going to rejoice in that day, in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. I believe this speaks of the restoration of the Lord Jesus to his people Israel as their king, as the king of the Jews. Well, dear ones, these things are in this beautiful book for us to rejoice in the Lord always and to rejoice with the Lord. When we speak on foundation, brother read the verse in Mark. He said, it says there about digging deep. You know, sometimes we carry a lot of rubble with us and we let many, many things interfere in our vision as Christians, and we lose sight of what it's all about. It's all about one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know him as your Savior, you're one of his. It's on him that we need to build, on his person, on his finished work. We can rest on that. Nothing can change the foundation of God. Nothing can alter. We build on that foundation. You're on that foundation today, you're safe forever. If you're not, you can be doing. But when you're measured, you'll be found not to be on the foundation. Like these workers of iniquity in Matthew chapter 7. They spoke about what they did for the Lord, but they never entered into what the Lord did for you and me.